Greetings, everybody. Alex Simmons here. I've decided to take this one quick moment to say, for those of you who have been listening to the show for the past few months, you're more used to the fact that we would post, you know, once or twice a week. But because Chris' last jaunt to the Pulp Fest in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a few weeks ago, he got so many interviews that we decided to give you, as he likes to coin it, a summer of pulp. Right. So we're going to, you know, keep feeding you these interviews with a number of good, really good adventure writers and pulp fiction writers that Chris has met, and just fill the weeks with this. So don't get used to this happening all the time, but this is definitely one of the things we want to hit you with now and try and get as many of these great interviews in as possible. So this is an intro to the next interview. Hope you guys will find it exciting and interesting to listen to him as well, and know that over the next couple of weeks, we'll be throwing several more interviews from the Pulp Fest that Chris attended, as well as a few of our other interviews and episodes. So, without further ado.
Hey, this is Chris Ryan from Tell the Damn Story, and yes, we are at the last day of Pulp Fest, still having a great time, and we're here with Jim Beard, another writer who's here, giving us some new material. Pulp Fest has a lot of stuff from the 30s and 40s, but, you know, Jim and I, we're kind of the new breed, right?
Yeah, it's a good way of looking at it. I like that.
So, Jim, tell us about the kind of stuff you do. It looked like a wide variety.
I am all over the map.
I love it.
Yeah,
Talk to us.
I got my fingers in everything. I call myself a writer of adventure fiction.
Okay.
But at the core of it, I am a pulp writer. Mm-hmm. And very proud to say that. I'm working in a classic pulp style. But my whole thing is adapting it to new things. Finding ways of taking that wonderful punchy pulp style and saying, hey, let's have the adventures of a 60s rock group like the Beatles on a world tour, but in that punchy pulp style, you know. I mean, and that's me, you know, looking for new things to adapt it to.
Now, do you blend other genres in with it? You know, like there would be British Invasion and pulp.
Yeah,
you know,
but yeah, absolutely. You know, I have so many interests, and so much of that started as a kid, and all the stuff that I literally absorbed.
Let's talk about roots. What did you absorb as a kid?
You know, giant monster movies. You know, Godzilla Week on the Big Show. G.I. Joe toys. Universal monster movies because of the horror host that I watched out of Detroit, Sir Graves Ghastly. Mm-hmm. I was wearing his t-shirt the other day, you know. I'm taking all these things and trying to distill it down into the stuff that I love about it the most, and then looking for ways to combine it. And hopefully I'm going to stumble upon something that maybe not everybody else is doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I love it when people walk up and they look at one of my books and they go, either I wish I had thought of that, or like, where did that come from? And you know what? I may not be making, you know, millions of dollars off of it, but if I'm having fun, that's what's so important to me. I gotta enjoy what I'm doing.
So, how do you do what you do? What is your writing process?
Not very easily. When you said, you know, what do you do? I should have said, well, I'm a frustrated writer. Yeah. But
no, I've seen the tables full of products. You are not a an accomplished writer.
I have been really lucky, because not only do I get to do the original stuff and some really fun, cool stuff, and I do some self-publishing and I work with some small publishers, but I've actually been more recently doing licensed fiction, and I've been very lucky in that respect. So I kind of going back and forth and doing that stuff. But
can you give us an example?
I've written an original Spider-Man novel, official. Co-created.
Which one? Which was the Spider-Man?
It's called Spider-Man: Enemies Closer.
Okay.
It's actually published by a firm called Joe Books, and they had the official Marvel license to do official Marvel prose novels.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I still to this day I can't believe it. I have a Planet of the Apes anthology, a classic Planet of the Apes anthology. Which is me and my co-editor Rich Hanley, assembled this incredible group of writers, and we did 16 stories set in and around the original five movies, the two TV series, and the comic books. Not the new stuff,
right?
But and that's published by Titan Books. It's called Planet of the Apes: Tales from the Forbidden Zone.
Fantastic.
I have an X-Files short story.
Extra material of those Planet of the Apes cults. Yes. Cultists.
Yeah. Right? We've gotten incredible reviews on it. You know, trip onto Amazon.com and look at our reviews for that. And you know, cool. People just really responded to it well. So
you also mentioned the X-Files.
Yeah, I did an X-Files short story for a collection called X-Files Hidden Secret Agendas. Secret Agendas. Again, you know, I get to do those things, work with some properties that I absolutely love and have loved for a long time, but I'm doing my original stuff too.
So let's talk about, give me at least one of your original titles.
I have a ghost hunter character named Sergeant Janice. Mm-hmm. That there's been a couple books so far and a couple short stories and collections. That's going to be probably the next thing I get back to do a new novel of Sergeant Janice. I've got a shared universe giant monster anthology project called Monster Earth. I've got that 60s rock group that we were talking about. Sure. They're called the Lemon Herberts and have
Lemon
an anthology.
Herberts.
Yeah. And probably the thing that I'm most proud of my original ventures is I have my own little publishing firm called Flinch Books. I have a fantastic partner in that named John Bruning. We're both Ohio guys. Mm-hmm. And we've got five books out so far, four anthologies, and John's original novel called Midnight Guardian. And we are just having the time of our lives. And we're here at, actually, half of our table is Flinch Books, and the other half is my own stuff or whatever. And we've got those five books out. We just put out an anthology called Quest for the Space Gods. And this is what those like high concept things that maybe not everybody's doing. It's actually the adventures of an author that somewhat resembles Eric von Daniken, he of the Chariot of the Gods.
That's right.
Debacle in the 70s. And our character is named Conrad von Hönig, and he travels the world in the 1970s looking for that conclusive proof of ancient astronauts and all the obstacles that he comes across. We actually sold out this weekend.
That's
for
fantastic.
That book. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Great.
We have an incredible group of writers. I do the initial lead-off story. John and I created the concept, and then we had five other writers come in and pick it up and do more adventures of the character. Really great response to the book so far.
Excellent. So what is your writing habit? Is it a daily?
My writing habit sucks, is what.
Well, did you just hear all of that stuff he did? Oh, my writing habit sucks. Well, Produce, you have the proof is on your table.
I know. You know, it's funny. It's like I like the end result, but getting to it, it's like pulling teeth sometimes. I mean, here's what it is it's the starting. And you know, a lot of people say like, well, I want to write a novel or I've started this story, but then I put it down and I went, it's like, you got to finish a project.
Finish what you started.
It could suck like my writing habit, but at least you say, I've got this beginning and the end and it's done. Then go back and tweak it.
And make it suck less.
Yeah, it suck less. Absolutely.
Until it's good.
Yeah. I mean, my writing process is dream up the idea, make a few notes for it, create a rough outline, but don't get too far into the outline, and allow for stuff to happen while you start writing. Know where you're going, you know, and that's what I do, but...
You're a pantser with a roadmap.
Yeah, yes. I couldn't have said it better. Perfect. We were talking about this in our... We had a Flinch Book panel yesterday. We were talking about this, about the magic when the characters start speaking to you and they're telling you, the writer, what they want to do.
There's nothing better when they insist. Yeah.
Yeah, this has happened to me more than once. And there's some magic that can happen when that, you know, like, and I'd say to anybody who might have this happen to them, go with it. You can tie them up and pull them back to where you want to, if you want. But let it happen and see where it goes. And you might be surprised, because these characters, if they take on a life of their own, they may know better than you, the writer, you know.
Whenever someone talks to me about writer's block, I usually say that there's two things that are really writer's block. Either you didn't spend enough time with the character and getting to know who the character is,
yeah.
So do a character biography or whatever, yeah. And I'd have like 150 questions to offer, you know, go mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. answer all those questions. You'll have less block.
Yeah.
Or you're trying to force the character one way when the character wants to go another way.
Absolutely.
You have to kind of, if it's really hitting the wall, listen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yep. And then, absolutely.
Boom.
I was writing a Sergeant Janice short story, and Janice was in this supposed haunted house with a police officer, and something big started happening, and Sergeant Janice, I knew, was going to say, well, I can't leave. I have to take care of this. Place is literally coming down around their ears, and all of a sudden, and I didn't know this, the police officer says, you're coming with me. He tells me he wants to hit Sergeant Janice over the head and knock him out and drag him bodily out of the house. Totally unexpected. They were supposed to stay in there.
Right.
And it was like, no, this is great.
Let's see where it goes.
Yeah, he's knocking out my hero, you know, and dragging him out, probably saving his life, you know, maybe. You know, you mentioned that thing about all this kind of prep work. One thing that, and I know this works for a lot of writers, do this insane amount of prep work, and they're writing drafts that or pitches that are almost as long as the novel themselves, you know, or they say like, well, I got my first draft done, or I'm into my fourth draft, and it's I'm kind of a like a one draft and hand it to the editor and get it, you know, it's like I get it out of my head, and sometimes that's hard, just getting it onto the screen, you know.
Everybody has different styles.
Absolutely.
When I was writing my first novel, I rewrote it 10 times. But that was because I was teaching myself what a novel was and how it worked.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That didn't happen the second or the third,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And as you learn who you are as a writer and what you can do as a writer, you know, you throw those things to the side and move to the next thing.
Yeah.
I still find myself, when I'm prior to writing the new piece, right, whatever that is, I'll be walking around and it's in your head all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll use either, you know, the little notepad in the iPhone or actual index cards. And
with
and
me, it's sticky notes.
Sticky notes.
And
right.
I have a pocket full of sticky notes that I'm walking around with, you know. I'm terrible. I'm low tech.
Yeah.
And I always thought, like I said to my wife, I'll get a little audio recorder and, you know, because I always
when
think
when are you
going
to listen to it all back, right?
I know, right, right.
The index cards, you can get a big cup of your choice of caffeine and put them out around the table, move them around, and then once they're in order, you can basically ignore them, right? Because it's in your head. If it's on the go, and then if you get stuck, you flip through, oh, those were my ideas.
Exactly.
Boom. But it's all the process, right?
Yes.
Are you a longhand writer? Are you a computer? What are we talking about?
Oh, well, longhand for notes, like we're saying, sticky notes and everything, but then right onto the, you know, computer. Yeah.
I got to get to the sticky notes for a second. Do you ever put them in order, or what happens to the sticky notes? Do they stay in the pocket? Are they on a crumpled pile in the corner of the desk?
Yeah, well, it's more likely the crumpled pile, you know, and then I'm finding sticky notes that already repeat the ones on this sticky note, but it's
that means it's a better idea,
it's
right?
It's generally lay them out to the side, start crossing, like, all right, I just inserted that into there, cross it off, you know. Can I finally throw this one away? So I'm also obsessive compulsive.
That's great.
Which, yeah, like every bad thing that a writer, you know, should not be. But, you know, I urge everybody, don't get too hung up on what you think might be the rules.
Right.
You can, you know, a lot of the big, huge authors, you know, put out their, like, five things you should never do or whatever. Okay, there's some logic in some of them, but don't get too hung up on that. Like you said, find out who you are as a writer.
Right.
Love that phrase.
Right.
Find out who you are as
a
writer.
And you only do that by doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You
maybe your novel is going to be your kind of novel,
right.
You know? And people are either going to love it or they're not going to love it. And
what I find is the people who come back, the people who are supposed to be your audience mm-hmm. are the ones who love that novel for what that novel is,
yeah.
not how it compares to
yeah.
some other
yeah.
author, right?
Yeah. I hate to keep going back to Sergeant Janis, but I
well, you
I
know
just,
what? He's on your mind.
I did something that got a good response. It's eight stories. But each story is told by one of his clients.
Oh, cool.
I decided I didn't want to have a third-person omniscient.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to do first-person from him. And I didn't want to have a Dr. Watson character.
Right.
And somehow it jumped into my mind that, well, this guy's got clients. So every story is first-person, but it's eight different perspectives on the same guy.
That's cool.
And everybody has a different idea of him. There are the people, his clients, who believe what he's doing. They believe that there really are ghosts, and they're kind of in awe of what he does. And then there's a couple of characters who think that he's a charlatan and that he's faking all this stuff just to get, you know, his fee or whatever. And I really love that because it allowed me to speak in eight different voices.
Sure.
And this was a huge challenge because I don't like first person very much. And here I am writing a whole... And then as the stories go on, they start to link up. And by the end, you see that there's this overarching story over them. I actually went to a couple of my writer friends and I said, do you know of anybody who's ever done this thing where it's the clients who are telling the stories? And they're kind of like, that's kind of interesting and new.
What sparked my interest, and then I'll have to swing over to your table and see if it's there, that when you finish that book,
mm-hmm.
you have a very well-rounded view of Sergeant Janis.
I'd like to think so.
Very fascinating.
Yes. Yeah.
So we've spoken about all the different things you do. My God. Hopefully we've sparked some curiosity in the people who are listening.
I hope so.
So where do they find your books?
All right. Obviously on Amazon.com. Amazon.com/author/Jim Beard. They're going to see everything that I have up there. I have a Facebook, I hate to call it a fan page, you know, I'm just not...
I always call it an author page.
Yes, I'm not into that word fan, you
right.
know. I wish they're readers, you know.
Right,
they're
right.
they're hopefully they're like me, you know, they're readers, you know. That's called The Beard, the Jim Beard fan page. There's that word again. They can find me there. And my... horribly unused Twitter account is at writer Jim Beard, all one word, and they can find me there too.
Excellent.
Oh, and they can find me at the Flinch Books page too. We have on Facebook, we Flinch Books, FLINCH.
Cool.
In your face, Major Flinch.
There you go. Love it. Yeah. Love it. So thank you very much
for
having a conversation. Enjoy the rest of the fest.
Love talking to fellow writers.
I'll be over to your table. I'll bring a couple
man.
Of mine. I'll show
all right,
you
cool, man.
Cool. Thanks
thank
a lot.
You. Thank
Take
you.
Care.